I'm here with Alexander Mercuris, editor-in-chief of the Deran. Alexander, we have from page6.com some interesting information on Ghislaine Maxwell. And it's not a very long article. I'll put a link for the article in the description box down below. Let me read you some excerpts, which are really fascinating insights as to who Ghislaine Maxwell is, which also gives us some insights as to who Epstein might have been. So, Alexander, from the article via page6.com, Ghislaine Maxwell, the British socialite who's long been accused of serving as Jeffrey Epstein's madam, is hiding in a series of safe houses and is being, quote, protected because of the information she has on the world's most powerful people, end quote. On the heels of a Reuters report that Maxwell was the main focus of an investigation by the FBI into several people who facilitated the dead pedophile's alleged sexual abuse, a source tells Page Six, quote, Ghislaine is protected. She and Jeffrey were assets of sorts for multiple foreign governments. They would trade information about the powerful people caught in his net, caught at Epstein's house. End quote. The source added of Ghislaine, who was homes in Manhattan and London, quote, she is not in the US. She moves around. She is sometimes in the UK, but most often in other countries, such as Israel, where her powerful contacts have provided her with safe houses and protection. And finally, Alexander, the source added that Britain's disgraced Prince Andrew had begged Maxwell to come forward and give an interview to protect him after he was accused of having sex with one of Epstein's most vocal accusers, Virginia Roberts Guffrey, which he strongly denies. But Maxwell refused, forcing the prince to conduct his own disastrous interview. The source said, quote, Andrew pleaded with Ghislaine to publicly defend him. She carefully considered it, but decided no good would come of it if she came forward. It isn't in her best interest. Lawyers for Maxwell didn't get back to us. The source also added, quote, if the U.S. government was really interested in bringing in Ghislaine, the IRS would have looked at her tax returns and the income she may have got from Epstein and perhaps some of his powerful associates, end quote. Alexander.
Well, there's been lots of rumors about how Epstein was able to operate in virtually clear view and carry out his many crimes in virtually clear view. And one of them, which of course was partly confirmed by Acosta, the prosecutor who agreed this deal with him some years ago, was that he was being protected by the intelligence services. It was never made clear which intelligence services, but there were rumors that Israeli intelligence might have been involved in some way. And I think this article in the New York Post, which, to be very clear, is a establishment, traditional media, mainstream newspaper. We're not talking about a website somewhere or somebody coming up with stories of this kind who doesn't have resources to investigate them. This story that we've just seen is the one that, for me, perhaps lends the greatest credence to this, because we hear that she's been protected by powerful people, and we hear that she's being protected in safe houses and being kept safe in safe houses. The kind of people who run safe houses tend to be intelligence agencies, and the kind of powerful people that are being referred to sound very much like the sort of people you would expect to be involved with intelligence agencies. And the reference to Israel, I can't imagine, is just chance. It makes it seem as if there is some kind of connection to Israel. I have to say, and I really must emphasize this, we don't have all the dots. I mean, this isn't joining this thing up terribly well, but this is information from a source which I would say is reasonably reliable. New York Post, as I said, is not, a website somewhere making this up. And it seems to be hinting at quite a lot. It also says something which I think is very likely true. In fact, I'm pretty sure it is true, that there were contacts between Prince Andrew and Maxwell. And that suggests that the British authorities know where she is. And, if the royal family knows where she is, the British authorities almost certainly know where she is. And if they know where she is and are able to speak and communicate with her in some form, and, you know, when we hear about Prince Andrew pleading with her, that suggests to me more than just, emails or messages. That sounds almost like telephone conversations. It again suggests that she's in a location which is visible to those in the know. And that does again rather point to her being protected by the intelligence agency of a friendly foreign power, friendly to Britain. And the logical one, again, since she's apparently not in the United States, the logical one is Israel. As I said, it's not conclusive evidence, it's not proof, but it does all seem to point very clearly in that direction.
Yeah, the fact that she made trips to the UK, it says that she made trips to the UK and she was staying at certain points in time in the UK, I think would mean that the royal house, the royals and Prince Andrew most certainly had access to her. I also think that that quote from the source saying that Prince Andrew pleaded with her may also be a little bit of misdirection, maybe in order to somehow exonerate Prince Andrew by saying, I pleaded with her in order to also, give her side of the story, which would clear me of any wrongdoing.
Yes.
Maybe that's thrown in there as a little bit of misdirection in order to kind of exonerate Prince Andrew. And finally, Alexander, we've done a video on Maxwell, her family, and the history of her family, in which you stated that Maxwell, her father, did have ties to Israeli intelligence and Mossad. If you know your history with the Maxwell family, that would make sense that Maxwell may have also been caught up in the intelligence community via her father.
Yeah, just to say, I've just adjusted my position because I'm in a chalet where the light was pouring in, so I've not been whisked from one secret location to meet with Ghislaine Maxwell to another or anything like that. It's just literally we did it during the interview itself, but the program itself. But coming back to this, I agree. I think that this conversation, this thing about this conversation with Andrew, does look very much like an attempt at, protecting Prince Andrew, to imply that, in fact, Maxwell knows all sorts of things, and that, in fact, she could have, saved Andrew, but, chose not to, and that's put Andrew in a particularly bad mess. So I agree with you about the misdirection. As for Maxwell's connections to Israeli intelligence, well, as you rightly say, we did a video about her father. I don't think that there is anybody on earth who has any doubt at all that Robert Maxwell, her father, this mysterious, extraordinary, exuberant, larger-than-life character who dominated British publishing for so many years, particularly British scientific publishing, and who was a Labour MP and a politician and a football, owner of a football club, and all these extraordinary things. There is no doubt at all that he was intimately connected with Israeli intelligence. He never really made any kind of secret about it. He's widely credited with having been one of the original Israeli intelligence of officers who managed to buy arms from Czechoslovakia just after the Israeli state was founded, which are absolutely crucial in enabling Israel to survive and to win the first Arab-Israeli war of 1948. And he was, of course, when he died, in circumstances which are also, by the way, somewhat mysterious, he was buried at a very, very high profile funeral in Jerusalem, where all sorts of Israeli officials and intelligence officials and former heads of intelligence, and I think it was the Israeli prime minister himself, Yitzhak Shamir, they all, who was an intelligence officer, they all turned up. So if it turns out that Ghislaine Maxwell has an intelligence connection to Mossad, then she is simply following in the family tradition. And, you know, that wouldn't surprise me at all. And it would, by the way, make me wonder what the exact balance of power between Ghislaine and Jeffrey Maxwell actually was, whether perhaps at some level she might have been his controller. But, you know,
I was just going to say that. You're exactly. We'll leave it at that. I mean, I was just going to say, maybe we're looking at this all wrong, and it's Ghislaine who was the lead, and Epstein was a subordinate.
Well, indeed. Well, it's interesting that the FBI are apparently now focusing on her, and it's interesting that whoever it is who's protecting her is being so careful not to allow the FBI near her, apparently, which is in itself quite interesting. I'll just add one very quick point. I mean, you know, if she is being protected, then that suggests that she's seen by whoever is protecting her as a very high value asset indeed. Now, Mossad is famous for standing by its people. I mean, there are other agencies which would treat someone like Ghislaine Maxwell as a hot potato and would find ways of disposing of her. But, you know, that's not how Mossad works. And that might also point to Mossad. Anyway, lots of interesting thoughts. Very interesting article in the New York Post. So far as I'm aware, I'm not in Britain at the moment, but so far as I'm aware, not one that's been covered here in Britain at all. And as I said, it does. And as you said, as we both worked out, two great minds, thinking alike, clearly it does cast a rather interesting picture on this whole scandal. So, you know, let's keep our eyes out and see what more comes.
Yeah, re-examination as to the relationship between the two and exactly what was going on. And maybe, you know, her father's history does simplify the thinking a bit in that she's just following after her father's footsteps. Exactly. And Epstein was one of her assets.
Well, Epstein exactly.
One of her assets.
And it would seem a very important one.
Right, right. Real quickly, very, very quickly, Alexander, what do you make of the last line where the source says, if the U.S. government was really interested in bringing in Ghislaine, the IRS would have looked at her tax returns and the income she may have got from Epstein and perhaps some of his powerful associates. If the U.S. government was really interested, what does that tell you in...
Well, again, it's one of these extraordinarily interesting sentences which begs many questions. First of all, it's remarkable that they haven't, it basically says they haven't actually done that, which in itself is remarkable. I would have thought that by now they would be frantically going through every single tax return of everybody so closely involved to Epstein as Maxwell was. And I have to say, that's true. They haven't done it. That is absolutely true. I mean, you know, it shows that the US authorities are not ultimately very keen on finding out much about her. But I'm going to say something else. It also looks like a hint. It's rather suggesting that there is something interesting about those tax returns.
Very good point. All right. Alexander Mercurius, Editor-in-Chief of Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell. Donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar. Your donation really helps us out a lot. Look for us on iTunes and SoundCloud for an audio copy of this video. Look for our videos on bitchute.com and thedurantvideo.com as well. We post all our videos there. And download the Telegram app to keep in touch with the Durant and everything that goes on the Durant, including our DRN20, 20% discount on all merchandise from the Durant shop. That includes magic mugs, that includes apparel, and it includes two new ebooks with a foreword by Alexander.
Indeed, and one of them, by the way, is about Epstein, whom we've been just talking about on this program, and about the nature of the scandal that involves Epstein. And we touch on many of the issues that we've been raising in this program about what a mysterious and strange person he was, and how he was able to operate, apparently, in clear view, carrying out these abominable and awful crimes, and do so with total impunity. And despite the fact that so little ultimately is really known about him. I mean, how he made his money is mysterious. How he acquired his property is mysterious. How he acquired this extraordinary circle of friends. All this is not really explained very well. But perhaps the strangest part of the whole Epstein story is how little is being said about him even now. That, you know, the whole extent of the scandal, which is, you know, on a simply huge scale, what he was doing on an industrial scale with countless victims, we now know about. And yet you would think that this was, you know, the big story in the US, and all the people who were involved in some way or some form would be hunted down, and questions would be asked, and the media would be, you know, chasing around after them, and the FBI would be questioning all sorts of people. It's been nothing like that at all. We have this very, very discreet, quiet inquiry, and the media, both in the US and elsewhere, including Britain, has not been covering this story in any detail. So it's a very remarkable, very, very remarkable case. And in this book, we try to bring that out and to discuss its, you know, various aspects to the extent that we can. And of course, the contrast with the other book is couldn't be greater, because there we have a scandal, Ukrainegate, which isn't really a scandal at all, because, you know, Donald Trump may have done all kinds of things, but in this case, it's not clear that he did anything. There's no crime being alleged. There's no actual wrongdoing being alleged. And all these people, we are told, are witnesses. When you drill down to it, they're not witnesses to anything. So the president of the United States is being impeached over nothing. This is commanding the media. There's been endless stories about this in the newspapers and the, you know, on the internet and on television. We at the Duran have been forced to do vast, you know, programs about this. And yet there's nothing of substance at all. So you have these two, this extraordinary contrast in the way these two massive scandals are being dealt with. Massive in the case of one, it gets no coverage. Non-existence in the case of the other, and it gets massive coverage. I mean, what is going on? And in itself, the very fact that we're asking that question, I think, provides a kind of answer, because it shows the kind of state and society that we live in today. So those are our two books. As Alex rightly said, we have all this wonderful merchandise and apparel in our shop, our magic mugs, our wonderful shirts. You see that I'm wearing my long sleeve shirt now that I'm in the Alps. I need it to keep warm when I'm on the ski slopes with my wife and my dogs. So you've got all these wonderful shirts, all these wonderful mugs. And we've also got hoodies, hats, stickers, you name it. It's all available still, you know, in our discount, on discount. Our discount promotion, our promotional sales can go on for several days yet. So it's not quite finished, so you can still get them, DRN20 being the code. And as we've discussed, they're marvellous gifts. You can buy them now as a post-New Year, post-Christmas gift for someone, or you can have them for yourself. So go to the shop, help the Duran by buying these great things, learn about these two bizarre scandals from our books, and Alex will tell you how to do it.
Just put DRN20 on the checkout page. You'll get 20% off all merchandise. Alexander Mercuris, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.